Blog Talk Radio.
The issue is not the election. The election is a battle in a war. It is not something unto itself. The result of this election in itself is a matter of indifference. It's a question of how the battle is won and lost, which is important. But there's another issue here. There's also an issue of World War III. And World War III is between the British Empire, better known as the Anglo-Dutch liberal banking financial system on the one side, and the principal nations of Eurasia, Russia, China, India, and other nations are the targets of intended warfare by the British Empire, which is already turning Europe into a mere colony of the British Empire through the program of the Lisbon Treaty. If the Lisbon Treaty were adopted, and is being pushed for adoption now, there would not be a single nation on the continent of Europe, west of Belarus and Russia, which had any sovereignty whatsoever. The British Empire would control the entirety of that region of Europe, from Portugal to the borders of Belarus and Russia, as a puppet of the Anglo-Dutch liberal financial interests. It is those interests represented in the United States for a long time, have taken over control of the US dollar, control of the United States. Now they're moving in for the kill. The same cartel that put Mussolini into power in Italy, the same cartel that put Hitler into power in Germany. And we're now at the brink of something like a Hitler power taking over the United States. If they grab the United States, then they will grab all of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty. If they control the United States and the parts of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty, then you will have an actual fighting war emerging on this planet. You will have dictatorship. You will have mass starvation. The elimination of whole sections of the population of parts of the world through starvation. And that's part of the British program. It's the food war. That's the situation. We're not dealing with an election. We're dealing with whether there is in the United States, in the top layers of society, the moral fitness to survive. And so far, the vote is, in the leadership of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, neither is morally fit to survive. There is unmorally fit to survive as the people who backed Mussolini and backed Hitler back in the 1920s and the 1930s. And if we allow this to happen, we will get the same kind of treatment that the victims of Mussolini, Hitler, and so forth suffered. That's what he said. We have to win this war against that evil empire.
Now, just because there is a watch don't mean we're saying that Jesus is going to come back.
trying to win a prize here and get it right. I'm trying to warn people that things could be changing, at least in the next 12 months, to get your costume ready, get your apparel ready, that you may go in white. It says in Isaiah, though your garments might be splashed with crimson, God will make you white as snow. And that says that in the first chapter of Isaiah. He says, verse 18, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God wants us to purify ourselves and be ready for his coming. And he talks about in various places about getting ready for his coming. Matthew 25 talks about, and of course that's the chapter after the as he talks to his disciples. Olivet Discourse, the Mount of Olives, he's talking to his disciples about his coming. And then as we're going to stick with chapter 25 a lot, and chapter 25 is a touching chapter if you really read it. He's talking to both before or prior to judgment. And we're going to look at 25, and we're going to go ahead and read off of that. Now, the 10 versions is a great theme for a proof that there is a getting closer to God or getting ready for his coming. Now, verse 1 in Matthew 25 reads, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now, everybody slumbered and slept. You notice, not just the ones without oil, but did it say that? Now, who is he talking about there? All, or is he talking about all of the 10 versions, or just the 5 were asleep? So, it says, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye all out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. So I believe this is a relationship with God rather than anything else. It's a being full of the Spirit. Now, in Romans chapter 8, we're going to turn there, and we're going to read a little bit from chapter 8, early part of chapter 8. Okay. Now, chapter 8 is an awesome chapter, but I think what people do is they grab the positives out of chapter 8 without thinking or without asking the Spirit to bring knowledge to our minds about reality and truth here. And it says, there is therefore, now I want you to listen to this first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walked not flesh, but after the spirit. Now, what is the correlation between Romans chapter 8, when it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit, and then the 10 virgins, which had oil in their lamps? Now, notice, it says in verse 6, and at midnight, there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet them. Or be out, I'm saying him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. Now, there's a scripture in the Bible that warns us as we correct a brother or correct a sister. And it says, make sure when you're making the correction that you don't get tripped up. And it's important that we use discernment when we are correcting a brother or a sister. I can't remember what that scripture is. I would like to find it, but I can't remember what scripture it was. But now, with this being okay, let's go ahead and read on. It says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. Rosh Hashanah is fast approaching. And this holiday called Rosh Hashanah is a proven fact that Matthew 24 is a good articulation of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a coronation of the king. And you can go to Leviticus 23. Matter of fact, I'm going to go there right quick. And I want to talk about this a little bit. And then I want you to keep in mind what we just read. Okay, because that's going to be very important to articulate for y'all what's going on. Now, if y'all out there, and y'all know how long the tribulation lasts, write it in the chat room if you're somebody in the chat room. I don't know. I have to take a look at the chat room. But, so, the Feast of Trumpets is one of the spring feasts. Fall feast. And this fall feast is, to me, in my interpretation of the word, through the Holy Spirit, it is very accurate that the first four feasts happen exactly to the day. Okay? And then the second feast also happened to the day, which is on so the first feast was Passover. And God fulfilled that feast to the T. So in Leviticus 23, what it talks about is he's explaining that there's going to come a time where God's appointed time. It says, the feast of the Lord is the time used in the expression tent of meetings. Thus, there are assemblies of the people taking place at a set time. And as a holy convocation, they are celebrated at the tabernacle. The description of these events as feasts. The day, the season of the religious joy. These are God's appointed time. So we're talking about these are God's feasts. They don't belong to anyone else. They're not even the church's feast. They're God's feast. So he's going to fulfill those feasts to the T. Okay. So we'll be back in a minute. So let's talk about the feast, the Feast of Trumpets, and the Bible says in Leviticus 16:24, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, there should be a Sabbath for you, a remembrance with sulfur blast, a holy convocation. So we know that the holy convocation is a thing that is celebrated in the temple. The Feast of Yom Teruah, the Day of Trumpets, better known to some of the secular calendars as Rosh Hashanah, occurs on the first and second day of Tishri. The Bible refers to this holiday as Yom Hazor Kumran. I'm going to butcher that one off. The Day of Remembrance, or the Day of the Sounding of the Shofar. The holiday is instituted in Leviticus 23, 24, and 25. So I'm going to go ahead and go there. I'll go to verse 23. So I'm in Leviticus chapter 23. Let's go to 24 and 25. It says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of the trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." So that's the Sabbath day. On Tishri 1, the sixth day of creation, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the life." And man became a living soul. And that'll be 2:7. So I'd like to read more on Rosh Hashanah, but here's the dates that we have to take a look at. The dates that are Rosh Hashanah this year is for sure the 19th and 20th, and some people say the 21st, which is on a Monday. So we don't know the official time until the moon is seen by the two witnesses. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and talk about, I'm going to go ahead and look at Joel right quick. And I want to look at the blowing of the trumpet in Joel as a warning. Now, it says in Joel chapter 2, verse 1, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountains. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." Now that's a warning blast. Notice that. And it continues on, verse 2, chapter 2 of Joel, "A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There has not ever been the likes neither shall be anymore. I kind of cut that short, but the trumpet that is sounding is a wake-up call, and that is part of Rosh Hashanah. Now, the wake-up call is also found, and let's go to Thessalonians right quick, and we're going to read a wake-up call. And it says, in my Bible is subtitled, The Coming of the Lord. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brothers, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died on the cross again, even so, them also which sleep and Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now God said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So the dead person who dies in Christ, his spirit will go up to the Lord. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Okay? We're going to take another break. I'll be back. So, now we know that it's a warning, and it's also a calling. So, God is warning us, and he's also calling us. Now, the Bible talks about that the Lord will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what did God say in Daniel chapter 7? Daniel chapter 7. I think it was Daniel chapter 7. That the Lord, the Ancient of Days, he saw a description of the Ancient of Days. It says in chapter 7, verse 13. It says, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. I think I'm dyslexic. And continue. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So we know that Jesus is going to be reigning and taking back the devil, or the devil stole from Adam and Eve in the garden. So the coronation of the king will also be one of these celebrations. It talks about in Revelations the marriage supper of the Lamb. So it is also a marriage supper. Remember in the Gospels when he's talking about he sent his prophets, that's another one, where he was saying that his son had a wedding, and they were trying to invite people. He said, go into the streets and the byways and invite. And that's what he's doing now. He's calling out a bride for himself. So there will be the kingship there. will rule, reign and rule with. And the Bible is saying that people are being drawn out every day to serve this Lord that we serve, a good Lord, an awesome God that we serve. Now I'm in chapter 19 of Revelation, and it says, "And I heard as it was a voice of a great magnitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunders, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." Now, omnipresent means he's everywhere. Omnipotent means he's all-knowing, and omnipotent means he's all-powerful. So Jesus is all of those, all-knowing, all-powerful, and he's everywhere. Omnipresent. And it says in verse 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen." Now, you have to get ready. Remember, the fine linen here correlates with Matthew 25. And we're going to go back to that in a second. So verse 8 of chapter 19 of Revelation, it says, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Now remember, we were in Isaiah chapter 1 and was talking about, though your garment be red as crimson, it should be made as white as snow. And what did he say? He says that our God is our righteousness. He gives us our righteousness. So he makes us white as snow by what he did on the cross. And what he done on the cross was for our salvation, for us to have eternal life. And the things that Adam had, God has given back to mankind through the cross. Okay, so, and it continues on, verse 9, "And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at my feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Now, it cracks me up how people don't like to hear that Jesus Christ is coming back. It's amazing to me. Okay? One of the whole purpose of Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross is not for us to wobble in this earth for a thousand, million years. It's for us to... It's for him to restore a kingdom that is reigned and ruled by him himself. Okay? And that's what he said. "My kingdom is not of this world." Okay? If it was, we'd fight. And it cracks me up how these people are out here fighting for the world. Well, we need to change. Or we need to start a revolution so we can take back this and that, trying to get the church to war and fight in the flesh instead of in the spirit. We need to be fighting in the spirit, even if it causes us just to pray in our quiet chamber. See, the fighting that the Christian faith has is much different from the fighting that the world wants the Christians to do. See, we're already fighting, and we're fighting in the way God wants us to fight. Jesus said to act as if he acts. Live as if he lives. God, Jesus wasn't trying to fight the establishment. He wasn't trying to fight the system. He was trying to spread the gospel. And we can't do anything unless the Spirit gives us the power to do so. Kind of went off track here. But saying that's a we have a correlation of the king. We have a wedding supper. We have a wedding ceremony here. So that is part of Rosh Hashanah. It's a wedding ceremony. We are married to Jesus. Okay? We are married to Jesus. And we will hear the shout. We will hear our name called at that present time if we are raptured and raptured into his presence. Now, am I trying to guess when Jesus is coming back? No. But when he talked about, let's go back to Matthew 24, and he talked about no man knows the day and hour. Now, I'm not going to say I can still guess what day and hour he's coming, because Rosh Hashanah is a two-day event. Rosh Hashanah is a two-day event. And I was listening to a radio program today, I called in not because I own my own I'm doing my own ministry radio program, but I called in just to be calling in and say, and he asked me what was going on. So I had told him, I had told him Rosh Hashanah was a two-day event. And this guy was saying that he believed that Jesus could, and he used the word could, come back, you know, on a certain specific time. And if you're saying he should come back at 12 o'clock on Friday, and he doesn't come back on 12 o'clock on Friday, you get your feelings hurt. Rosh Hashanah is a two-day event. So even if he was coming back this year, now, if it's a two-day event, what I try to explain to him is that, for instance, Russia is daytime now, and where I live at is nighttime. So, today right now is Thursday here, and a few minutes is going to be Friday, and New York, actually it's already Friday in New York. So the rapture happened now, Thursday to me is Friday to you, and this is very true. You can't argue that fact. So when Jesus was saying no one knows the day and hour, he was talking about many things, but he was actually pointing out Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a two-day event that no man knows the day and hour. The day of the Lord is revealed at the rapture. Okay, the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. So when the day of the Lord comes, the thief in the night is here. You know, the thief in the night represents day of the Lord. I'm going to read some things. I'm going to talk about some things today. President Obama said that he's going to Israel is going to strike. them. Now, my interpretation of Bible prophecy could be wrong. Do I hope it's wrong? Yeah, actually I do. Now, here's the deal. If Israel is attacked in the next couple of hours, next couple of days, then I can see a response by Israel to their neighbors, and I can see Hezbollah fighting Israel, and I can see Israel getting into it with other neighbors like Hamas and Fatah. And then I can also see Israel striking Iran's nuclear facilities, and let's go ahead and do it anyway. And I can see Damascus getting into it by Saturday, and I'm just throwing this out there. And I'm going to change it. I'm going to shift gears and tell you why I could be wrong. And I can also see Syria get into Israel, but here's the deal with Syria. Syria starts sending on chemical bombs. And Israel gets ticked off. I can see all of that. Is it going to happen that way? Could. But I can also see Russia responding after Israel decided to drop a nuke on Damascus by Sunday. I can also see Russia responding very quickly. And I can also see the rapture of the church happen the same way. Now, here's another scenario that I kind of thought about a while back. I used to think this 10 years ago. The rapture of the church just completely happens with no warning. And then the book of all the wars start. But I'm also thinking the reason why I'm not 100% sure about this is because my fleshly wisdom, instead of using the Bible, thinks that God is going to give everybody a warning still. Now talk about the 10 virgins. You suppose they knew? I mean, I know the 5 virgins who were wise knew, but I don't know if the other 5 actually knew what was going on. Because shouldn't they have oil on their lamps to find their way?
Okay, actually I recorded that earlier today. My son had a football game and he injured himself, so we had to go to the hospital. So yeah, that was recorded earlier. So I apologize if somebody tried to call in. Actually, I was supposed to have this show at 10:30, but I had to move it. Actually, technically, the show wasn't even planned. I had thought the show was today, but it turns out to be on a Friday because most of my shows were on Thursdays, and I have just completely forgot. So I apologize for that. And I apologize for not answering the phone earlier, caller earlier. We're going to taking a look at things that are coming down the pike. Now, like I was saying in this recording, is that Jesus may come back for his church, and then the wars start, World War III, and then of course Damascus is taken away from being a nation or city before World War III happens. So, or we want to consider it part of World War III. But yes, we are living in some perilous times, and we can have another year, which, you know what, I don't think I'm going to miss this earth any much, anyhow. God's agenda is much more smarter than ours. He's much more patient. He knows what he's doing. We're just little bitty TV spots in a universe is so big, it makes our solar system look like a booger compared to the rest of the world. God is an awesome guy when you think about that. I can do a whole show on just the wonders of creation versus morons out there who believe there is no God. And you say, well, you ain't supposed to call anybody fool. Well, morons is more of a buttered up fool. And trust me, I've been a moron a few times in my life, my old life. But God has made this universe and the solar system, the galaxies, and there's galaxies upon galaxies, and there's suns that are like hundreds of times bigger than our sun. Go figure. That's an awesome God. And to think that the Big Bang created all of that, I mean, try telling me that the Big Bang created your career. Well, I threw it all into a box. I threw all my papers that I thought I would need over the course of this year. I threw my computer into this big, box device. And I threw my scholarships and all this other stuff into a box, and then I turn the box on and it shakes, and all of a sudden it hands me this paper and says, you are now a doctor, or you're now a lawyer, or you're now in the NFL, you play football, or you're now a top model, or you're now a top architect or engineer, or you're a top radio station producer. Because I threw all this stuff in a big box, and I just blew it all up in a big bang, and all of a sudden came out, wow, I'm an acrobat. I am a doctor. I am a great philosopher. I can see, why you're having these problems, because I threw all my stuff into a box, and I think y'all get it. If you look at just the human body by itself, why are my eyeballs on my behind and my behind on my eyeballs? I mean, there are some people who come out, and God bless them, But if you look around, the percentages are very low compared to the population. Okay. And God has given men and women, a lot of men and women, the majority of the population, legs and feet to walk on. And we have to be grateful for that just by itself. I wish I would have made this show 60 minutes. I don't know what I was thinking about when I said 45 minutes, but I'm having such a good time. I wish I can just keep going now. But you guys have a good, great night. Like I said, I don't know for sure. I'm not 100% Jesus coming back in the next 3 days or the next year or the next 24 months. But you know what? I have a good sneaky suspicion that 24 months is the next 24 months is going to be, the next 7 to 8 years is going to be big. To be on the safe side, the next 10 years is going to be big on God's radar. But if you look at the Rosh Hashanah for the next 3 or 4 years, I guarantee you probably can pinpoint when the rapture is going to happen. You have a good, better shot than just calling it out of the blue. But no man knows the day and hour, and I will continue to say that. But we know when. We know when he's at the door. Prove me wrong in the Bible, please. But everybody out there who's listening, you have a blessed, blessed night. And may the Lord be with you and keep you, especially those who are saved, keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of the Lord. God bless. God bless.